Okay, hey everyone, how you doing? Pat Reinhardt here from Conductor. Welcome to the February edition of 3030. It is freezing here in New York City, so I hope some people on here are in warmer weather. So today we're going to be going through a lot of stuff that's been happening, a lot of structure. Data news, but what we're going to be covering today is the industry response to the core algorithm updates that we talked about on January's 3030. I've been talking to a lot of customers, I've been talking to a lot of my friends in the industry, and just getting some feedback on the types of sites that they've seen moving. We are going to talk about a surge that's happened in manual actions surrounding spammy structured markup. Great article from our friends at Search Engine Roundtable and that put that one together. We're going to talk about AMP notifications that are coming through Google Search Console. We're going to be talking about the announcement that JSON-LD is now supported for structured data. Again, another structured data update, which I'm really excited about. And we're going to talk about Bing now officially powering AOL search. Who knew? We're going to be going through just a reminder that Google Penguin is on the way. And I joined Twitter. It is not the year 2000. I joined Twitter actually this year. So definitely would want to connect with you guys there. So let's jump into it. So the core algorithm updates that we know happened a few weeks ago, and they happened 2 weeks in a row, and we saw a lot of different things from this, got a lot of different responses. We saw a lot of fluctuations up and down, a lot of sites maintained, as usually happens with these core quality updates. But a lot of things that we saw is a lot of big publishers lost rankings, you know, surrounding, you know, this type of shorter form content, which got us to thinking, got me to ask a few questions where, you know, a few of my friends around the industry were seeing the same types of things with the same types of clients. So it looks like that, you know, big publishers that had, you know, shorter form content, shorter length content, were seeing the biggest brunt of this. So again, you know, these core quality updates affect a broad range of ranking signals. So we don't really know. This wasn't a Panda. This wasn't a Penguin update. This was one of those quality updates that kind of is the core algorithm updating. So we don't necessarily, can't really pinpoint what was updated there, but really it looks like you know, kind of a content focused update. We did see a lot of big publishers lose rankings there. So, you know, that goes, you know, that goes to show that people that had content programs in place, right? Not even just publishers. You know, I was looking through a lot of Conductor data, a lot of different types of clients in a lot of different areas. And for the most part, we were seeing, you know, a lot of the same things, but, you know, definitely taking a look outside of just publishers, we were seeing a lot of sites that had a, you know, a cohesive content strategy in place, people who had some form of SEO in-house or some form of SEO program in-house, we're doing better throughout these updates, which again kind of goes to not just the fact that I work for an organic search focused company, but really, you know, if you have these content, you know, these content programs in place and you have these SEO programs in place, you are going to do better when these updates happen because they're going to continue to happen. So what does that mean from there, right? It means that, you know, if you're an agency, if you're a client, or if you're an in-house guy or girl, you know, it's really talking about getting that longer form content. We've been doing a lot of testing over here, actually, about, you know, kind of extending a lot of content. We're seeing a lot of improvement in ranking when there's actually an increase, because normally I would say you don't have to really go above 500 words to make something rank and do well. I mean, you know, quote unquote, there's no, you know, there's no real right or wrong length depending on what type of content you're creating. But we actually started to extend content from 500 words to 800 words around there, and then some even beyond that to 1200, just to kind of run the gamut of the different lengths. And it looks like the best performance was coming out of that 750 to 800 word, you know, pages. So that's something to keep in mind. Definitely something to test out. I'm not telling you to go out and write novels on each one of your pages. I would never say that, nor suggest that to any of our clients. But it's definitely a test that we've been doing here. We've been seeing longer form content getting a little bit more benefit here. So definitely something to keep in mind. So going on from there, really interesting story that came up was this surge in manual actions that were surrounding spammy structured data markup. And it was Barry Schwartz who from Search Engine Roundtable, as we all know, that reported this. And I found this one really interesting because I've been having a lot of conversations around structured data. So what's causing all this surge? Because it's really odd. You don't see a lot of, you know, spammy structured markup manual actions. You normally hear about links or, you know, thin to duplicate content. Really, that's actually what triggers these things. So the interesting thing is actually seems to be stemming from WordPress plugins, mainly ones that revolve around recipes. So the four that are here is WP Ultimate Recipe, ZipList, Yumly, and Easy Recipe Plus seem to be the list that was kind of compiled over there at Search Engine Roundtable. And this is one of those things where, yes, this is for this is for recipes. I don't know if anyone on the phone here is has a recipe site or has any recipes on their site, but if you do, definitely look into this. The big question, because I was talking this with a customer yesterday just about structured data in general, and I'm a big proponent of structured data. I think that this is going to be, Google is dumping a lot more time and energy into structured data. We saw the update this week from John Weller that the JSON LD support is here now. So that just tells me that they're putting more and more real estate into this. And I think that is something that we all need to pay attention to. I think that if it's not already, it's going to be a ranking factor if you do or don't have structured data. So I definitely think that that's coming. And, the question that we kept asking ourselves yesterday is like, but we thought it was good to have structured data. You know what I mean? And then we kind of got into a really great conversation. And, really where we landed was it is good to have structured data, but looking at this and the article actually came to this conclusion as well, that you're not supposed to have it on every page of your site. So it's really, again, like everything else in SEO, it's what's the right kind of structured data, right? What's the right type on your page? And this is a great example of this because these plugins, they're just dumping this code onto your page, right? And so at the end of the day, if you're just doing the same thing on every single page, when you think about it, that is very spammy. That's a very spammy thing when you're just dumping the same thing on every page. We wouldn't do that with title tags or meta descriptions or H1s. We wouldn't want just duplicate stuff on that page. So why would we want it in our code? So this was a really interesting find and a really interesting, thought really of my day, my day yesterday. It was a really good conversation. So think about that if you are doing structured data. Think about that. Do you need every type of structured data on every single page? The answer is most likely no. So moving on from there, so another big thing that I've been talking about that you guys have definitely given me a lot of feedback is around AMP pages, accelerated mobile pages. Google began sending last month AMP page notifications through Google Console to webmasters, which I think is really cool and really shows that they're invested in this technology. One of my biggest questions or one of the biggest questions that was asked last month was, what about ad support for this, right? Why are they, they're pushing this thing, but, if people are going to get to these pages, the accelerated mobile pages that are a cached version of the site or however they're doing it, then how am I going to run, am I going to lose eyeballs for the most part, and how am I going to run ads on this? So Google did confirm that there is ad support now for accelerated mobile pages, and also them sending these messages saying, hey, we think that your pages are a good candidate. This isn't in any way, shape, or form an error message, or you don't have AMP pages, you're going to get a penalty. It's nothing like that. This is Google encouraging people to do something, which I believe is going to be, I think this is going to be, the future of what mobile is going to look like. We're going to have many different types of pages that we can create that interact with different mobile devices and tablets. And I think this is going to be something that's really going to be interesting to watch over the next year or so. Because what I want to know is, obviously this is for publishers. We've had this conversation, right? This is for publishers. We know it's for publishers. And, does it make sense for me as an e-commerce site, let's say, to use these pages? And I think the interesting thing is over the course of the next, few months, We're going to find out what type of sites are going to be able to use this in many different ways, many creative ways. Hearing that they have ad support for this, and you know, kind of filling in that gap that people were worried about, that is definitely something that tells me that a lot of people are going to start to adopt this. Probably more than even, you know, probably more than even Google thought in the immediate, because when you think about it, this is you coding other pages, setting up canonicals for these pages. They're not meant to be indexed in that particular way. But at the end of the day, you know, it's supposed to be about making them faster. And the biggest question here that I know from a lot of our customers was around ad support. And now that they have ad support, I think we're going to see people start to use this in very creative ways. So again, if you are a publisher, if you have news-like content, you should be looking into this and talking with your development team about how you can potentially even test some of these out on your site. So definitely something to keep in mind. So we have another update about structured data, and I know there's a question about what structured data is, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I thought that this was pretty exciting when I saw John tweet this out. I commented on it. He liked it. I was excited. It was my first Twitter like. Everyone thought I was a dork. It was fun. So at the end of the day, when I saw this, I thought that this was awesome because this is again Google putting time and more effort into structured data, which I love. I love structured data. I think it's going to be a great thing for SEO. It has been a great thing for SEO. And if it's not already, then it's going to be a ranking factor if you have it or not, and if it's properly implemented. And that goes back to the slide a couple of slides ago about these manual actions seeing a surge. That means that Google doesn't want you to just dump these things in. They're actually paying attention to them. So I can't imagine that they're not going to. And John Wheeler actually did say that he believes that they are going to become a ranking factor eventually. So the JSON LD support is just more, more proof of that. And this is something that anyone can use. For anyone who doesn't know, I ripped this right from Wikipedia. This is the description. You know, JavaScript object notation for linked data. It's a method of encoding linked data using JSON. It's an upgrade. It's a step up from regular JSON. It's just meant to make everything go easier. I won't bore everyone with the technical aspects of it. To be honest with you, you probably need to talk to a developer. I'm probably even not the right guy to tell you about that. I've just had experience with it in the past and seen it work really well with a lot of sites. So what this means, again, this is Google supporting this. If you're not actively using structured data, that's microdata, that's the rich snippets that you see for reviews, that you see for prices, that you see for stock levels in the results pages. These are more signals that Google is giving us the ability to control to tell them what a page is about. And anyone that's gone through either an audit with me or a strategy session with me knows that I am the king of themes. This is another way to strengthen your theme of a page. It's not meant to be spammy. It's not meant for you to go in there and just kind of flood all of your pages with this stuff. But this month, seeing that I have two slides dedicated to structured data, means that Google is making a move here. And it's something, structured data has been around for a long time. And any SEO on the call knows that, and they're probably using that. And anyone in WordPress probably has microdata on their site, and they don't even know it. Because a lot of these plugins, as you see, do it for you. But again, if you're not using it, it's time to start really looking into a strategy around this. And also, it's time to make sure that your site isn't spamming these types of tags. There's hundreds of them that you can use, depending on what you are. Everyone should be using the brand microdata on the homepage. And if you have products, you should be having price, reviews, stock levels. There's a lot of stuff that you can do here. And looking into that and making a plan around this is something that will help you in the long run. So definitely something that you want to do. So onward and upward. So another piece of fun news from last month, which I seem to be throwing a Bing slide in here every month at this point. And like I said, anyone who knows me, knows that I kind of poke fun at Bing from time to time, but I really shouldn't because, to be honest with you, they're making a lot of smart moves, right? And the big question is, now that Bing powers AOL search, You know, so what, right? Who cares, Pat? You know, who's using AOL search? And to be honest with you, when you look at it, when you look at what Bing and Microsoft is doing, you know, they really said that they were going to be all in on search this year, and they're keeping that promise. And I had said something similar to this last month, and just seeing that, you know, the shift between October and November, and even though that data is a couple of months out, you know, a few months out, you know, it shows that, you know, Bing is about 34% of organic search results. They've done that through, you know, basically acquiring, you know, search engines, or at least powering different search engines. And it's a smart way for them to compete with Google, because let's face it, they're most likely never going to get to Google's level. You know, at the end of the day, Bing is going to be Bing. They're making it more sophisticated every single year. They're making it better. It's the center of a big revenue push for them. It's a big thing for them right now. And I think it's smart. And I think it's cool to see someone kind of, you know, take a different approach to kind of, you know, it's kind of like someone in the space buying their competitor, right? They're just powering their competitors now, and it's just giving them more market share. So while they may never reach the, you know, into the 60s, or, you know, even come close to where Google's market share is, you know, having 34% of the search market, that's not that bad. And it makes you think that even, you know, from an organic search standpoint, we can only optimize to one search engine, right? We don't have pages that we optimize for Bing. We don't have pages that we optimize for Google. We have our other search engines. We really optimize for Google for the most part in the U.S. at least. You know, if you're in China, it's Baidu. If you're, you know, in Russia, you're doing Yandex and all that stuff. But it, you know, really in here in the United States, we're really all talking about Google and optimizing our content to Google and its ranking factors that we believe we know. But at the end of the day, it makes you think, well, Bing is growing, even if it's by acquisition, so maybe we should start paying attention to it, or maybe we should start including it in our reporting just to kind of see what types of people are coming out of it, because a lot of people ignore Bing. I mean, God, I ignored Bing for years and years, but, you know, over the last year, I've really been starting to pay attention to it just because they're making smart moves, and I think we're going to continue to see them grow a little bit. Again, do I think that they're ever going to overtake Google? No, of course not. That's crazy talk. But at the end of the day, they're still a player in the space, and even, you know, if you're a paid search person or someone who has a hand in the paid search pot, there's nothing wrong with looking into Bing. Bing is a great area for paid search as well. Their click-through rates are higher, their conversion rates are higher normally, and that could be just because there's less people using it. But at the end of the day, it's a really good place to actually go out and test and get some great deal of paid search traffic. So with that said, we're nearing the end of February. We're about halfway-ish through this year. So that means that we're getting towards the end of Q1. And as we all know, Penguin 4 is coming, right? So this isn't necessarily me saying you need to do anything special, but just, again, I'm going to continuously remind you, you're going to see a slide like this next month as well. Penguin 4 is coming. If you were negatively affected by the last Penguin update, this is your chance to try and get out of it. You still have some time to do some work. If you've been doing work along the way, then hopefully you'll be seeing the fruits of your labor soon. Google said by the end of Q1, this would be out and live. So again, this is a reminder. We're not going to get into this because we talked about this already. If anyone has any questions, you certainly can ask me. I'll be answering questions after. And again, I joined Twitter. So here, you know, last month we keep getting a lot of questions through Twitter, and, you know, I noticed that, you know, and certainly everyone here was like, you know, Pat, you really should get a Twitter handle. So I have joined the masses. I could not get at Pat Reinhart. Twitter would, you know, there is someone who owns that who's not using it, and they refused to give it to me, unfortunately. But, you know, I do have the handle at Ask Reinhart. So if you have questions about SEO at any time, you can just tweet me, and I will do my best to tweet back to you in a timely fashion. What a time to be alive. So with that said, I want to get to questions that anyone has. I know we have a few, so let's start. So what is structured markup? Great question. So for anyone who's just getting into SEO or just learning about SEO, structured markup is the in the results pages, and you can see Amazon uses it, eBay uses it. A type of structured markup is when you see like a 4 or 5 star review, let's say, right? When you see a stock level, when you see a price within the organic search result, that is structured data, that is structured markup. But those are not the only types as well. There are hundreds of others. Blog posts have different blog types. There are custom search results filters that you can put on. There's brand ones where you can give Google information about your brand. A lot of brands use that on their homepage. This is stuff that exists in the code that Google sees and that certain people see, depending if Google awards you the rich snippet based on microdata. But at the end of the day, this is something that a lot of people spend a lot of time on, and a lot of great strategies and a lot of great wins have come from this. So at the end of the day, if you're just getting into SEO or you're just getting into structured data, learning about it, whatever, definitely continue to look into it. Ask me questions. I'm happy to help you out here. But that's what structured markup is. It's another way to code in what is on what a page is about to Google. Thank you for the question. So, let's see. You said with the core algorithm, you saw a lot of large publishers take a hit. Are you able to give specific example of those that took a hit? Unfortunately, no. A lot of the stuff that we saw, I cannot say which of Conductor's clients did that. Fortunately, with NDAs and everything in place, I can't divulge that information. But it's, you know, it would, all the others that I was doing research on, it's all people that, you know, the usual suspects, you know what I mean? That, you know, think of any big publishers that you probably read every day, or many people, thousands of people read every day. It's sites within that realm that saw the biggest hits. Now, have some of them come back? We're seeing people start to come back a little bit, but those seem to be the biggest quote unquote losers of this one. Thank you for the question. Okay, keep going. Here we go. When can I see Bing search results in Conductor? That's an awesome question. And right now we're really focused on Google because of the market share. That's something that you can definitely bring up to your CSM or your strat. We have ways that we can definitely help people out there if they're interested in Bing data. But for the near future, we're going to be focusing on Google. But thank you for your question. People still use AOL search. Apparently so. So that's a little bit of a funny one. But yeah, you know, people do still use AOL. People still do use a lot of other search engines. DuckDuckGo, for example, a lot of people use that. You know, I've seen a lot of people use a lot of strange search engines. So at the end of the day, you know, you don't think about these search engines as out there, but still millions or hundreds of thousands of people are still using these things every month. So while we are all so focused on Google for obvious reasons, you know, there are still some great search engines out there that people are using. Do you have an exact date on when Penguin 4 is releasing? No, I wish I did for you guys, to be honest with you. I know this is a burning question that a lot of people have. I get it constantly. But, you know, really at the end of the day, it's going to be by the end of Q1. I doubt that they're going to push it out again. I would be shocked if Google missed a deadline twice, though they can do whatever they want, of course. But, you know, I really think that we're going to see it by the end of Q1. My guess is sometime in late March is when it's going to be happening. So, again, if you were negatively impacted by Penguin 3 or any of its iterations along the way, you should always be paying attention to your backlink profile, right? That's something that someone in your organization should always know what's going around if there's an SEO program in place. But at the end of the day, you know, we're really looking here to, this is a good thing, again, for anyone who wasn't on any of the last calls. This is going to be Penguin moving into real time, so we won't have to wait for these manual data pushes. But, you know, still, there's no reason not to always be actively monitoring and managing your backlink profile. Thank you for the question. Here's a good one. What are your thoughts on AMP in the services industry? Would you use them for evergreen content like tips or recipes? That is an awesome question. And this goes back to my point before, where I really believe that we're going to see people use these in very creative ways. since there's ad support, that, you know, that's everyone's biggest concern. You know, why would I do this if people come to the page and they don't see the ads and I can't sell ad space? What's the point? Or my AdSense account? And I think that for pages like this, I think you could totally use it for evergreen content. I think that's where most people are going to use it, is on their blog or on their insights repository, something like that. You know, tips or recipes, I would consider that blog type content. So I think that it's definitely something to test out. Do I think that you should go out and, you know, amplify your, you know, I coined it, first time heard, amplify your pages? No, you shouldn't do that wholesale, but you should definitely test out. If you have, let's say, 1,000 pages, go back and do the amp coding on 50 of them and see how they perform, because I'd be really interested to see how often things are going to show up in the amp carousel and, you know, versus, and what the click-through rates on those would be. That's going to be really interesting to me, because as we know, everyone's going mobile, everyone is mobile, not even going mobile, everyone is mobile now. So I'm really interested to see, but I definitely think any evergreen content, as long as there aren't any things like prices on there that are subject to change, because you never are, like deals or promotions that you're running that have the ability to run out, then I would think that you would be safe using any evergreen content. Thank you for the question. Is AltaVista still a good search engine? I don't even know if AltaVista is still a search engine, to be honest with you. I haven't heard that name in a long time. That's like Lycos or something like that, or something I haven't heard in a long time. So I'm sure if it's still going, I'm sure it's a fine organization. Okay, how are we doing on time? We're doing pretty good. We've got time for one more. Any insight on the Bing, Yahoo, Gemini mobile split? Great question, and I wish I had more. This is something that actually has been coming up within a group of SEOs that I talk to all the time. We always have an email chain going, and someone brought this up the other day, and, you know, we really all just started, you know, kind of paying attention to this. So I wish I, you know, I'll actually take this note and I'll come back with something next month on it, because right now I don't have anything great to share with you, except any, you know, rumors and thoughts and, you know, people just kind of thinking out loud about what's going to be going on with that. It's a really interesting topic. I'm glad that you asked the question, but I promise to have a better answer next month. And with that, we are just about at time. If no one else has any other questions, I think we're good. So, everyone, thank you again, once again, for coming and listening to me talk about the internet. I love this job. I love talking to all you guys and giving you insights. Please visit our blog. If you have any other questions, just tweet them at me at Ask Reinhardt. I'll be happy to get back to you. I'll be on Twitter as soon as I walk out of this room answering people's questions if they come up. You can use the hashtag 3030conductor, or you can just tweet directly to me at Ask Reinhardt. Again, everyone, thank you so much. For all my friends on the East Coast, especially the Northeast, please stay warm. For all of our customers and friends on the West Coast, I hate you. You're making me sad. It's so cold here. Have a great month, everyone. May all of your SEO campaigns go up and to the right, and we will talk to you next month.